All right, good evening. Welcome back. We're glad that you can come back and enjoy the last meeting here we have of our missions conference. We've had a great weekend of gathering together, of hearing challenges from the Word. It was great to hear that this morning about the encouragement to keep going and to finish well and to run wisely with the right amount of pace and just continuing to follow the Lord's leading and guiding and making disciples locally and worldwide. And so we want to continue to think about that as Pastor challenged us. What is our role in that? Is he calling us to go, calling us to support, or calling us to do other things here in the Wheelersburg and surrounding areas in order to make the gospel known and to see people come to know him as Savior and then teach them all and teach them the things of the scriptures. And so we want to continue to think through that tonight. With a couple different things happening tonight. One, Pastor Brad's going to come up here in just a minute and give us an update from the ACBC conference. He had a great time there. He wants to give us some updates of what's happening in the biblical counseling and what he learned from that. And so we want to continue to pray for that. Such a part of our church that's a part of the fabric and DNA of our church. And so we're thankful for those updates and hearing about how the Lord has used that conference to what he's taught him through this conference. Then we'll hear from Randy. We'll get an update on what's happening in his ministry there in South Brazil. And we'll keep look forward to hearing that and giving the Lord praise for the way that he continues to use him and Cindy and the others on the team there, and then the added responsibilities that he's taken on here recently. So we'll look forward to hearing that. And then we'll wrap up our evening with our business meeting, monthly business meeting. We've got some things to vote on as we continue to seek to use what the Lord has given us wisely and to do that as a congregation there. A couple of quick announcements. I don't want to take a ton of time for this, but coming up this week is the Seasoned Saints Luncheon. So I don't know, assuming registration for that has been closed. But if you have signed up for that, reminder, that is this weekend. If you still would like to go, you can ask Scott and Pam or any of the camp staff, see if that's still possible or not. But that is happening this week, and we want to be praying for that. There's a couple of ministry needs there in the ministry updates and announcements, and so we want to make sure to draw your attention to those. If the Lord leads to provide in those ways, that would be fantastic. Just please contact the people that are mentioned there in those announcements. Any other ministry updates and announcements we need to make sure we remember tonight? All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor Brad at that time. Let's pray. Gracious Father, what an amazing privilege it is to gather here together and to be together with the body of Christ and to be here in each other's presence, to encourage one another, to challenge one another, and just to continue to see your name be magnified. And I pray that that would be what happens here tonight. That you are a gracious, loving, just, holy God, Lord, that we have the amazing privilege of being part of your family, considered a child of God, and Lord, that we have the opportunity to worship you and to serve you, and Lord, I pray that we would do that and to do that well. I pray that we would run this race that you have placed before us and run that well, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Aaron and Randy for being here this week. This weekend and challenging us and encouraging us, Lord. And I pray that you would just allow the Spirit to take the truth and the things talked about here over the weekend and just go to work in our lives, grow us and change us through that as we continue to be molded into the shape of your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts of where our part is in fulfilling this mission that you have given us of making disciples locally and worldwide, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to wrestle with that question and Lord, to be excited about where you have placed us. Lord, we pray for we just continue to pray for tonight as Randy presents his ministry and that he would be encouraged. I pray that him and Aaron would be encouraged by all the things that have happened this weekend, Lord, that they would walk away refreshed and excited. And just and I pray that you would just allow us to continue to give you praise for the work that you are doing through our faithful brother and sister. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those who couldn't be here tonight. I pray that there's some wrestling with physical ailments and other things that are happening. Lord, we pray that you would just wrap your arms of grace around them. I pray that you would allow us as a church to mobilize, to love them, and to care for them, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would work through those situations. Lord, we thank you again for life and breath and everything. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Well, we support many missionaries, which we love. We also support a variety of parachurch ministries, such as Cradle and Baptist Children's Home. One of our parachurch ministries is the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC, that assists in making disciples, particularly dealing with difficult issues of life, targeted discipleship. WBC has been a part of this ministry for 2.5 decades, I guess. We became a training center with ACBC in about year 2000. And so every year ACBC has an annual conference. This year it was in Santa Clarita, California, a suburb of Los Angeles. And Sherry and I had the privilege to go to that event. There were 1,850 people at the conference. Another 1,200 were online, virtual conference. So about 3,000 people participated this year. There were 300 new ACBC certified counselors that were brought into the organization this year. Over the last 4 or 5 years, there have been over 300 every year. I think we're up to 92 certified training centers. To put that in some context, WBC became an approved certified training center with ACBC about 2007, I think was the year. At that time, there were like 21 or 22 other certified training centers. Now, next year, it'll probably hit 100. So we've been a part of this organization a long time. And the total number of certified training, certified biblical counselors is approaching 3,000 now. And it's really exciting to see what's happening in around the world. One of the great areas that it's expanding is in the Spanish-speaking world of Central and South America. Some of you would have been here on Wednesday night during the summer, and Pastor Kike Torres spoke to us over Zoom. He's a certified biblical counselor pastor in central Mexico. He was at the conference. We had a meal with him. He sends his greetings. Pastor Alberto Pondo, who's a fellow from Mexico that we spent some time with, and I was involved in his supervision as well. I mentioned Alberto. He's on the border with all the refugees coming up through Mexico into the United States. Their church is on the Mexican side of that, and they're trying to, on that side of things, deal with what's going on there. And he showed me a video. I wish I would have got the video. It's a video of people just walking down the road past where they live. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people heading for the American border, and they're trying to figure out how to minister the gospel to these, many coming from Venezuela. There are also many coming that speak French, that are coming from Haiti, that are coming through Mexico. So I mention that just because ACBC is more than just counseling people across the desk. I mean, we do a lot of that, helping people with their problems, but it's a whole network of people ministering the Word of God to hurting people really all over the world. So thank you for praying. I was an alternate speaker for the pre-conference, which meant I had a message ready to go in case one of the primary speakers dropped dead or something, and nobody did. So I still have a message to you sometime. It's almost easier to prepare and give it than to prepare and it's kind of a letdown. Well, I was hoping to be able to give this presentation. I did give a breakout session on one of the workshops, which, by the way, next year the conference will be in Fort Worth, Texas, first week of October. It's a great conference. There are like 6 general sessions and about 60 breakout workshops on a variety of topics relating to how to minister the Word of God to people who are facing all kinds of things. So I think that's enough of that tonight. But thank you for your part, our part as a church. It's a great privilege to be a part of this ministry. So now let's transition and think about South Brazil again. We're so thankful for Randy being with us. Randy's actually going to be speaking and then taking off. I still can't believe this. Is at lunch today, he was talking about what's going on. He's got to be at JFK in New York City 4 a.m. Tuesday morning to pick up his wife. This guy is committed to being here. I said, we need to get you on the road quicker, because we were going to go out and have a meal after the service tonight. I said, how about if we just skip the meal so you can start driving? So anyway, he was so gracious to say, no, I want to be here. So he's here, but his heart is getting to see his wife 4 a.m. Tuesday morning in New York City. So, and he's got to drive to get there. So anyway, Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, I probably need to explain that. So Brazil and the United States, they have an agreement with Social Security that if you are in one of the countries for more than five years, your Social Security reverts to that country. So I had to leave, or else all of my Social Security would revert to Brazil, which would be catastrophic for me. And so I need to stay in the United States and establish residency for 6 months. But Cindy can stay with our son, who's 16, Jason's 16, and in high school, Brazilian high school, if he were to leave, he wouldn't graduate. So it's that tension. Cindy's going back and forth to make sure that we're not apart for more than a month. So you can pray for us during that. And meanwhile, I'm here in 6 months visiting our 23 churches. So I'm used to being in the car right now. And so, you can pray for me on my way back that I won't see any deer, right? And that the coffee will work, that caffeine will work, so that I get in by 3 in the morning. But anyway, God's really been blessing during this time. I've really enjoyed just reporting and visiting our churches, and it's been an encouragement to me, and it's also been great to minister in our churches. So I have I'm about halfway, so I have about another dozen churches to see. I've already preached in, I've ministered in 12 states, so it's I've been around. Now, God did bless me with 1 week in Portugal. So apparently the Social Security Administration says you can go on vacation. You just can't go back to Brazil. So Cindy and I decided we were going to celebrate our 30th anniversary 1 year late, okay? Because last year was a really challenging year with the death of my brother and some other things. And so we celebrated our 30th last month in Portugal. And it was a great time, great time. And I don't know if you've ever been to Portugal. That was the first time I've ever been to Europe. And I just had a lot of fun watching the crowds. I don't know if you've been to Europe, and there are just so many people from all over the world just in the streets. And I was watching people from, you know, Europe, from Asia, from the United States. And I started to see that something was wrong with the way I see people. Okay, so here's my question for you. How do you see people? All right, and I think about your neighbors, about your coworkers, about classmates, people in general. What was happening to me in Portugal is I was looking, we're talking a week of just watching tourists, watching people, and I started to get a little judgmental. Has that ever happened to you? Where you're kind of like, I think that guy's probably eating a little too much, or I'm not sure that the dress, you know, or the clothes are appropriate, or I think that group over there is very offensive. And at the same time, I was reading through Matthew, okay? And I get to Matthew 8 and 9, and I happened on a very mission-minded verse, okay? And so it's in Matthew 9, verse 36. And it's Jesus, he sees the crowds. And in Matthew 9, 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So here a missionary is being confronted by the scriptures. How did Jesus see people, right? He saw people as harassed and helpless, not judgmental, right? He had compassion on them. And that really hit me hard. I'm like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Here I am judging people. Here I am evaluating people, and I should have a different view of people, that they are harassed, that they are helpless. And I started to think about that, and I know that in Brazil, there are a lot of harassed and helpless people. In Jesus' time, there were a lot of people who had zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, right? And so they were really trying to please God in many ways, but not in the right way. They were harassed by a religious system. They may have been harassed by, religious leaders. They may have been harassed by friends and family, their past, who knows? So many different ways that people can be harassed and helpless in Jesus' day and in our day today. And going back through chapter 9, well, first of all, it says that he had compassion on them, right? He felt compassion for them. So instead of judging them or avoiding them or thinking, I'm not going to get near them, he had compassion on them. And one of the things that I saw in chapter 8 and 9 was how Jesus, he touched people, literally touched people that were unclean, right? He made them clean. So that it didn't matter if he touched them because they ended up being clean. But I won't read through all of these, but in chapter 8, verse 3, he touched a leper. Touched a leper who everybody would have said, don't even get near this guy, right? He had to actually call out unclean. In verse 7 of chapter 8, the centurion sends news to Jesus, and Jesus says, oh, I'll come. And the centurion, knowing that if he were to come to a Gentile's house, he would become unclean, he says, no, you don't need to, you just speak the word. And he recognized Jesus' power and authority to the point where Jesus is like, wow, I haven't seen any faith like this anywhere around here. Then in chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Nowadays, what do we do if someone has a fever? We stay away, I mean, far away. What did Jesus do? He touched her. In chapter 9, there's a woman with a discharge of blood who had been years and years trying to resolve her problem, and she touches Jesus. Jesus knew full well what happened there, right? And then in verse 25 of chapter 9, there's this little girl who had died, and it would be unclean for Jesus to touch a dead person, right? But what does he do? He heals her, resurrects her. And then in verse 29, we see two blind men coming to Jesus, and what does he do? Touches them. He touches them. So I was confronted with kind of my view of people at times, and I'm not saying it's always that way. I think in our ministry in Brazil, I'm going to show you that we really try to see people as people that need hope and need Jesus. But I guess the question is do we really reach out and touch people? I'd like to share a video real quick of Joel and Dagi and Joaquin. They were here about 10 days ago, and they sat right back there, and we were able to see the church here. I was so glad that they could come and see the church, and I was able to share with them that this church is partially responsible for the ministry of the gospel in their lives. And Joel is definitely someone who touches people. So let's hear his testimony, and then I'll talk a little bit more.
That, for me, was a very, very difficult issue to deal with. Then, at that moment, I found myself with many emotions, with many questions, and had no answers. Before I knew Christ, I lived a normal life, normal for today's society, where I continued my daily life in studies, trying hard to do things by my strength, my wishes, my own decisions. My wife and I were struggling in our marriage. We wanted to have children. We were not able to. My family is a big family. My mother had 9 children. I'm a twin with a girl. In every couple dreams of having children, and we weren't having kids. So one day at my house, I was a very, very, very sad, very frustrated. And that day I cried out to God. I asked God to put good people in my life and not difficult people like I already had. I didn't want to become a difficult person. And if it was His will, that He would bring people to give me clarity, light. And to my surprise, around 10 days, 15 days later, Pastor Randall and his family came to live across the street. So, easily and immediately, we became friends. And I saw in Randall someone who could advise me. It was very subtle, but I noticed that it was the answer to a prayer, my prayer to God. And from there, we started a friendship. But Randall really played a very important role in my life. And when I told him my pains, including that of not being able to be a father, he put in the prayer group that we would be able to have children. Then, we were soon blessed. My wife got pregnant, and things once again started to settle down for me. So, in the second year of this relationship, my wife and I got baptized and started to see God more, the same God who was already taking care of me. More and more, I began to notice His presence and the desire that He has that we really seek Him. Because when you try to do things just by your understanding, by your strength alone, you are very limited. So, to me, chiropractic care is a way of, on a physical level, really bringing improvement in a natural way to people. And when we associate chiropractic to that physical care, understanding that patients often come with physical pain, but many situations come with a history of spiritual problems. One really needs, above all else, to be at peace with God, to be at peace spiritually, getting to know our church, listening to the Word, integrating my work that we might bring them to Christ. My business began to grow. I also started to take more time to grow in the church. The church was small and just beginning, so it was also a way for me to have more work and at the same time, help the church to become more visible in society. I strongly believe that each person has the right time for them. God will act when the heart is really open, just like it happened to me. And I still have many things that I want to grow in and evolve as a Christian, as someone who fears God. Then, it's really worth it to seek God and also be a transforming agent used by God.
Yeah, I did not have any idea that Joel was praying that God would put someone in his life. And it was only 2 weeks later that we moved in, and Joel waved at me and said, "Would you like some green tea?" You know, and it's like, "Oh boy, sure." I knew what that meant, right? A couple years, if not more, of green tea. But it's interesting how sometimes we think people that are around us have no desire for God, no desire to know God, but that's not true. God is at work, and as we look around, instead of judging, maybe we can see great opportunities that God is already at work. And so after 2 years of green tea, Joel and Doggy invited me over, and we had that four-hour conversation of the gospel, answered all the questions and doubts, and they put their faith in Christ. And it was neat to see Joel stand up in our church service and say, I am now your brother in Christ, and Doggy is your sister in Christ, and we all celebrated together. And Joel, being a young believer, didn't know any better. He said, I'd like to offer my services for free and start some chiropractic ministry here at the church. And I was like, well, I never heard of that, but sure, why not? Why not? And so he helped us in our church plant in Iwo Chi, and now we have really focused on using chiropractic care as a major way of developing relationships and touching people, just as Jesus Christ did. I think I'm going to go ahead and show a couple slides here. This is the Life Center in Deuser Mouse. So we got this, we rented this space, got it all ready, and then all of a sudden COVID hit. And so we were renting a building and not being able to use it to meet, except for the city said, you can have chiropractic care there. That is essential. And so we said, all right, God, that's in your plan. So Joel adjusted every single member almost of city council and almost everyone that worked at the hospital. And so they love us. They love us. About 30 people come in every Monday, and Joel is able to just to minister to them, and people come in with pain. I mean, who doesn't have back pain, right? So they come in with pain, but not only do they share their pain, but they share reasons for their pain. And most of them, many of them are spiritual, right? And you can see how challenges and difficulties and trials end up bringing physical consequences. And we are able to just get to know a lot of people that are hurting and that need hope. They are the harassed and helpless. And we have developed a lot of relationships over the years, and several of them are now coming to our church plant in Deuser Mouse. And Joel, it does a great job of saying, I can meet your physical needs, but you have spiritual needs as well. And so if you would like to talk to one of our counselors, then we have some waiting for you there. So Cindy goes in the afternoon, I go in the morning, and we have some others from church that go as well. This, I think, was Cindy in the afternoon. Neil is the secretary, and she does a great job, too, of receiving people. And this is Diego and Vanessa and their family. Diego works alongside me. He's a Brazilian missionary that's come from the north all the way to the south, understanding the need of the gospel in the south. And I am helping him understand the culture because it's a lot different than up north. And he's doing a great job. I have kind of the experience, and he has the energy. So it's a great combination, and together we're reaching out to our area. So one of the things that I have stressed in Iwo Chi and also in Deuser Mouse, and it's on a plaque in our church in Iwo Chi, is that we have two hands for the community and one heart for God. And that's what we want to do, is be a servant to our community, and we also want to show that we know and we love God with all our heart. And so we've been able to reach out, and through chiropractic care during COVID, I could not stay in my house. I had a hard time, and my wife knew that, and so she's like, okay, Randy, you can go out and just be careful. And so I went to the city council and I said, do you have any needs? Our church would like to help if there are any needs. And they said, well, we have around 100 Venezuelan or more in our city, in Deuser Mouse, that have come. And they have a lot of needs and we can't meet their needs. So we said, great. So we collected around 3 tons of food and we distributed that food to all the Venezuelans in our community, and we got to know several of them. And now we have 3 families in our church. This is Lemon and his family. Aaron got to know Lemon quite well because he helped out at the retreat center, worked there for a year. And all of them have come to know Christ and have been baptized. We have just a lot of fun with the Venezuelans. They are very energetic. They love to eat and love to fellowship. And so we are excited to have them. We're teaching them Portuguese. So in our church service, we have the Portuguese, we have the Spanish, and we even have the Hunsrück German. We even have Robin Lynn with the English. So it's a multi-national, multicultural church. So God's given us the opportunity to reach out to the Venezuelans, and they are a blessing to our church and to our community. We really want to develop relationships, and so we've figured out how can we develop relationships with people that won't just come to church, right? In our area, you can't open up a building and say, come to church, because they just won't come. So they will come to game night. Aaron's doing that at the Hangout. We're doing it at the Life Center. That's what our ministry center is called. It's the Life Center. So we have chiropractic care on Monday. We have English lessons on Tuesday. We'll have different activities throughout the week and often have our game nights. And we have quite a few people that come. And it's not easy to explain some of the games. You know, explain some of these strategy games takes a long time. But we have a lot of fun. And we've developed some really good relationships through our game nights. This is a picture of the ladies' tea. This happened last month. We had over 60 ladies come to the ladies' tea, several of them unsaved. And Cindy was able to share the gospel, and we had several of the ladies there that wouldn't leave to go home. They stayed for a long time, and they just loved the atmosphere and loved the opportunity to eat and to meet other ladies. And so these are opportunities that we're trying to develop relationships to show people that we love them and we want them to get to know us and our Savior. Gaucho night, this was in September. In September, you can see my son Joel and my son Jason in the very back. And this is the Gaucho outfits, and they dress up in the end of September and they have their green tea. And they have, I think we had a barbecue after the service there. I missed this because I was here in the United States, but they had their polka music. They adapted some of the hymns to the accordion and had a lot of fun. And so just a neat opportunity to have some different events and special services. God has put a lot of kids in our ministry now, and some of them have come to the kids' meetings and invited their parents to church. And so some of their families that are there, they're there saying, I'm here because my daughter wants to come to church. And it's like, great, I hope you enjoy it. And so we're really seeing some fruit from the kids' ministry and the youth ministry. The ladies also have their time, and the men have their time. I think in this they were doing some crafts, something like that. So the ladies are really growing together. In June, we had two groups come from the United States, youth groups from some of our churches, and they were able to minister in all of the high schools in Deutscher Moos. So to around 5,000 junior high school students in Deutscher Moos. And it was a great time. They would teach English in the class, rotate in every 5 minutes with different divisions of students. And our group was the younger group. They follow Instagram and stuff like that. And we went from, in a few months, we went from 43 likes on our Instagram to 4,500 likes. So the community is getting to know us, all right? And Joel and Diego are really excited about that. I'm not really sure what that all means, but anyway, well, I'll be excited with them. So a church has been born, and we are so excited to see just people coming to faith, coming to Christ, and getting baptized, and becoming members of the local church. I really am just so committed to the local church ministry. I think that the local church is what God uses to spread the gospel, to exemplify Christ, and so that's what we're committed to, is planting churches. We are seeing some new people come every week, every weekend. And we now have no more room in our location, in our facility. That's a good thing to happen, right? Joel and Megan have joined us. They arrived in January, and we've asked them to stay with us for a year or two just to kind of ease into ministry. And when they started, our youth group had 4 in January, and now we have 15. So God is using them in the youth ministry. Joel's also filling in for me as I'm gone, and he's preaching alongside Diego and doing a great job. We're really excited about them joining us. And so we have very strong emphasis on the Word of God and preaching and teaching and on prayer and outreach. And this is just a couple weeks ago. This is the new group of the new baptism class. I think this is our 6th group of baptism in not too long of existence. And so we're really excited. You'll see that there are several there. There are 3 there that are from CrossFit. Diego came from the north, and he came thinking that it was going to be ministry like up in the north, and it's not. It's very different. He had a shirt on, Jesus loves Dois Irmãos, and was passing out tracts, and everybody was kind of offended at him. And so he was really kind of sad, and, you know, what do I do? And I said, well, why don't you just join CrossFit or go to a gym or something like that? And he's like, okay. And now 2 years later, he's seeing several of the people that he was in CrossFit with coming to church. So I think the front row is like all pretty muscular people, right? And so it's great. And he's so excited. But it's that developing the relationship, right? Developing the relationship every morning, exercising, sharing kind of your struggles and sharing your faith. And we are seeing now several of them getting baptized. So we're really excited about this. So we have a problem we need to build. We've purchased property, and we are excited to be able to start construction. This is the building that is projected. We think it's going to cost about $300,000. The property costs $150,000. We purchased the property, and we have almost all the funds necessary to build the facility. God has been so gracious to us. And so I'm not going to say it's totally supplied, so just keep praying that, you know how it is with construction, right, Gary? You know, you have an idea, and then it doesn't always equal out to that. But I think this is, okay, so this is what we're going to have is the Life Center, and this is going to be the coffee shop. We're going to decorate this, I don't know, design it to be a creation theme. And the main designer and artist for the Creation Museum and the Ark is a really good friend of mine. He grew up in Brazil as an MK, and he's already agreed to come and help us develop the area. So we're excited that people are going to come, and they're going to see some dinosaurs and see some dragons and see some creation themes, and we'll be able to share about God's creation. We're also going to have an area for chiropractic care, and we also have a dentist in our church who loves the idea of what's going on there on Mondays, and she said, I would like to donate my time doing dentist work, and so we're going to have a dentist room as well. And so things are really shaping up. We'll have a multi-purpose auditorium where we can have activities, sports, and our auditorium for church services. So this is this week, okay? I think this was Wednesday. So that dirt is fresh. And I am so sad that I'm not there for the first day of construction, right? But I think God is saying, Randy, that's not for you right now, right? You have some other priorities, right? And maybe it's just God humbling me saying, you're not that necessary right now. So it could be that God's going to have this really moving forward by the time I get back in Brazil in January. So how do you see people, right? And this is something that God is challenging me, and I'm trying to challenge our people in Brazil. You know, there are neighbors that probably are without hope. There are friends of ours. There are people all around us that don't have what we have. And are we going to judge them, or are we going to reach out to them? Maybe they've been praying for the last 2 weeks. God, put somebody in my life that knows you. And maybe we can be that answer to the prayer and really be able to share the hope that we have. So it's an exciting ministry. This is your investment in eternity, right? This is our investment. That's what missions is all about. So appreciate greatly your financial investment over 30 years now, and also your prayers, and also that you've come and ministered with us several times. And so we are together in this. We are together in this. And you're going to meet someday even more brothers and sisters in Christ, like you met Joel and Dagi. And that's going to be a special day. It's going to be a special day. So I purposely left a few minutes for some questions. What is it that you would like to know about our ministry, about our lives, about the future, about Brazilian culture?
I'll start off with a question.
Sure.
What last week when you were here with Joel, you were on your way to a Christian Chiropractors Association meeting. How did that meeting go? And just give us a little update on that.
So before we started the Dois Irmãos church plant, I saw that the Christian Chiropractic Association was, their headquarters was in Denver, in Colorado, and I was in Colorado at the time. So I said, I'm going to go over and visit them. And I talked to the leadership there at the Christian Chiropractic Association, and they said, well, Randy, what you're doing in Brazil is amazing. We have short-term trips, so the chiropractors would go to a foreign country and they'd spend a week and they would do a lot of work and then they would leave, but they wouldn't necessarily see the fruit of that. And so I said, well, wouldn't you like to help us plant a church? And they're like, sure, how does that work? I was like, well, I don't know, you're the chiropractors, you know? How would that work? So we were thinking together, and they said, tell you what we'll do is we'll help you rent the facility. So we'll pay for the rent of your facility, and we'll send chiropractors to help Joel once a year and encourage him. And then we'll have Joel come to the United States and encourage him as well. So this trip was for Joel to come and report and for the chiropractors to get to know him, but also for us to thank them because they're paying about $1,000 a month for us to have our rented facility there. And they're all excited because I can say, look, a church is born as a result of us being able to minister to the community. So they were really excited this weekend. And Joel was excited because he's always dreamed of coming to the United States because his training was from Palmer College. Palmer went to Brazil and started his school. So his dream has always been to go to Palmer and take a picture in front of Palmer. It's like Mecca. And so he's like, let's go to Iowa. And I'm like, I'm not going to Iowa. That's like another 6 to 8 hours past where we're going, you know. And so I said, next time. But he met a lot of godly chiropractors, Christian chiropractors that love the Lord and are just really special people. I'm just really grateful for them. So they paid for his expenses, his family's expenses. That was great. Another question. All right, my son Joel yesterday turned 26, and so it was his birthday yesterday. He married Megan about a year ago, and that was a blessing because it was going to be hard for Joel to find a wife that would be committed to going to Brazil as a missionary. And God actually found a wife that was in Brazil. And so she's really a sweet gal. We actually, when Megan arrived as a missionary, we had her in our home for several months, and we also kind of took her in, took her on vacation with us, and watched out for her. So she was kind of already close to family, right? So we were really happy for them. And Joel has a desire to plant a church about 45 minutes away. And we said, you can't go by yourself. You need to develop a team. And so he's working on that. We also said he needed a church to support him in that, a Brazilian church. So Dois Irmãos is actually going to be his mother church. So Dois Irmãos isn't even that old, and it's hopefully going to start its next daughter church. And so we're looking forward to that. Joel and Megan are meeting with his best friend from high school who lives in Igrejinha, 45 minutes away. And just a month or so ago, his best friend put his faith in Christ after a long series of Bible study in the story of hope. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's funny because his best friend said, I don't like the Old Testament. Said it's just all law, and I don't like it. And so Joel said, well, we're going to start in Genesis. And now he's like, I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. And so Joel is really excited. Joel and Megan are excited to see Kyle and his wife come to know Christ. And now what's happened is family members are seeing the transformation, and they want to be a part of the Bible study. So Joel was like, Dad, what do I do? I'm halfway through the Bible study, and now they want to start. So what do I say? I said, well, you'll have to figure it out. So he started all over again, and they're just adding more people. So I think that church plant's actually going to work. It's going to go, but the question is timing. So you can pray for Joel and Megan as they evaluate what God would have for them, but I think that they are doing a wonderful job and excited to be there. But if you happen to have some teammates that might want to join them, you know, that might be interesting. Yes?
Where is Ariana and her husband, and what are they doing?
Okay, so Ariana is our first. She is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And she's working as a physical therapy, like in a physical therapist office. And her husband was with the military overseas, and now he's back. And they're doing okay. You can pray for them. They haven't really found a good church situation. That kind of, it bothers us a little bit. I mean, you know, it concerns us, let's say. So just pray that God will guide them. As parents, we can't tell our adult children what to do. We can just influence them. So we're trying to influence them in that way. Now, my son Jason, I just am so thrilled at where he's at spiritually. Last year, he said, Dad, I'm in this school and one of the few Christians there, and I need some accountability. And impurity issues. And I said, sure, Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night is yours. And so we started to meet, and we go out to a restaurant or go out to a snack bar and have a good hour and a half study. And several of Jason's friends found out and said, can we do it too? Can we be a part of this? So there's like 10, 16 to 18-year-old boys, and it's really neat to see them holding each other accountable, praying for each other, and every week really excited about just being together and helping each other out. Joel has continued that, so he decided that he was going to take them through doctrine. So Jason told me, he said, I had to write a whole timeline of eschatology last week for Joel. So he's got him on task.
you know, they went through all the doctrines and they finally finished last week. But Joel has taken that over. And so I'm really glad that my son is in that spot. So you can pray for Jason, that he would continue to be a good example. And he'd hold up under the pressure there. Douglas knows what that's like, right? To be a Christian in a secular school in Brazil. Any other questions? Yes. You probably want to know what weird foods we eat, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, guess what the favorite topping is on my boy's pizza? Chicken hearts. Chicken heart pizza. Yeah. It's pretty good, isn't it, Douglas? It is. Chicken heart pizza. Okay, it is yummy. It is. As long as you get past the organs, right? Then it's yummy. But we eat very well in Brazil. In fact, a lot of people that come and visit us after they've gone to some of our restaurants say, "Randy, you're not a real missionary." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Not a real missionary? You don't suffer. You know, you eat so well." And so, yeah, it's. I'm missing it already. I'm missing it already. The food in Brazil is very good. Yeah, Pastor.
I am so encouraged to hear how God's using you and Cindy and the church there to reach non-churched, non-Christians. And what you're doing is different than what we see in the United States. The adage is what you hook people with is what you keep people with. So if you hook them by giving benefits, things, then as soon as you stop giving, they're not interested anymore. But that's not what's happening. You are giving, and then you're seeing them stick around. What goes into that? Because there's something you're doing that's often not happening. I'd like you to talk about that.
I think the secret is in developing the relationship. So it's not just giving and then not being involved in their lives. Like even with the Venezuelans, we gave them some food, but it wasn't like this is always going to happen. But here, we understand you have a need. Here's some food, but we also want to get to know you. And I think that's another level, right? It's one thing to minister to people and their need, but it's another thing to minister to their need and have compassion on them. And that's really what we're trying to stress. And so, yeah, after a while, every Monday, going to chiropractic care becomes a lot of work. But we're getting to meet new people, and we're developing relationships with them. I put them on a prayer list. I'm praying for them. And you see, over time, the fruit of that. So I think there's something you have to be careful about creating dependency. But I think people know if you really are interested in them or not. So if you can minister to them and get to really know their names, get to know their situation, say, "I'm praying for you," that makes a big difference. And then we'll invite them to our church. Well, we have Wednesday night, once a month, we have birthday celebration. So if your birthday is in August, we're celebrating your birthday. That is the best attended service of the church. Because everybody comes. They want it. Everybody brings food and we all eat. And we invite, you know, even people that aren't from our church. "Oh, it's your birthday. Well, let's celebrate your birthday with you." And I think people are craving relationships is what it is. A family. We've seen people say, I miss family, and here I have a family. That's different than just getting a handout. But it's a lot more work. Pastor mentioned the counseling ministry here in the United States. ACBC has really helped us in Brazil. We actually have the ABCB. It's the Brazilian Counseling Association of Biblical Counselors. And that started about 15 years ago when Randy Patton came and spoke to around 50 pastors and leaders in São Paulo. That conference now has over 1,000 pastors and leaders every year. And we have several regions that have conferences. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a conference in the Amazon, and there were 900 people there. So it's really spread and exploded and been so helpful to pastors there and leaders in Brazil. Many have said, I have studied theology, but I really didn't know how to minister to people the Word of God. And it's been so helpful to them to be able to know that I can actually help people with God's Word through their challenges and struggles and suffering. So you can continue to pray for that. I was very involved, but now that I'm a regional director for our missionaries, I shepherd 50 missionaries in Brazil. I don't have as much time, so I'm selective in the conferences I can go to and even the counseling opportunities that I can get involved with. Cindy and I are counseling about three or four missionary families, Brazilian missionary families and pastors at this point, at this time. We do some over Zoom, but when we can get together personally, we do that. I prefer that. Yeah, it's a very gratifying ministry, but very challenging ministry, as you know. Suffering with people and helping them, you embrace a lot of their challenges and try and help provide the hope through God's word. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to direct it just towards a younger group. So we actually have Rob and Lynn, and Rob was offered early retirement from Eli Lilly, and he came and said, Randy, do you think God could use me on the mission field? And I said, you're asking me? Of course. And so they came and are helping us out in our church plan, doing a wonderful job. So it doesn't mean that you have to be a young person. There are several that are taking a second career and using that in missions. But I would say if you feel that God can use your gifts and abilities to reach a group of people in a different country or in a different location, and your church is behind you in that, that's so important, right? Your church says, yeah, we can see this working. We can see God using you in that way. That would be one of the first steps. So it'd be, I have a desire. I see the gifting. My church is on board with me. Then come and talk to me and to some others that can kind of help maybe, you know, what places in the world. Right? What places in the world could really use us? And my parents were in their 40s. No, their 30s. They were in their 30s, and I was 11 years old when we arrived in Brazil. So that's a challenge, bringing three kids. You know, you're in your 30s, but God used them in a mighty way. And my dad was an athletic director and coach and used sports ministries. So that was the abilities that he had. So he used his abilities in Brazil. It was a different ministry than people were familiar with. But his church was behind him, and God used him in a mighty way. So I would say those are some of the factors that you probably want to consider or others would want to consider. We're seeing fewer and fewer committing to long-term career missions. They're willing to come for short periods. And so I'm really praying that God will help people understand. I mean, with all that's going on in Israel, I mean, do we really think that Christ is going to take a long time to return? I don't think so. I think he's coming back soon. And we probably need to mobilize in missions and in other ways because the time is short. Time is short. Okay, well, that's, I think, my time. Thank you so much for just giving me the opportunity to share my heart and share the word and to represent you in Brazil. Erin does a great job. You have built into her and prayed for her, and she is a trailblazer. She really is. The whole idea of the hangouts and being right next to the university and impacting university students and using that in a church plant. Not too many people have thought about that idea, and she's doing a great job. If you go over there to the hangout, they just love her. They love her. And so she's doing a great job of just developing those relationships and sharing the love of Christ to them. And you're also supporting Joel and Megan, and I just really appreciate that. I think that it's neat to see how this church is invested in the generations, right? You supported my grandparents and me and my family, and now the next generation. And so not too many churches are doing that. And it's great for us to be able to say, wow, you've really been behind our family over the years. And so I appreciate you dearly. Thanks, Pastor.
By having Douglas come up here and lead us in prayer. Would you come up here, Douglas? I just think it'd be so special to have Douglas because, you know, Aaron and Randy and all that side of it were a part of Douglas coming to know the Lord. And I think now as I'm part of this church, would you lead this church in a prayer of commitment for these folks here? Just step up to the mic. So
yeah. First, I just want to share a verse as Aaron and Randy come to my life, and I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion unto the day of Christ Jesus.
Why don't you come up here and stand while we have this prayer? I think it's in just a second. All right. Lead us in prayer.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the life that we have in you. Thank you so much for the joy that you are in our lives. God, you are so good. And God, thank you that you are a God that saves. God, you use people to proclaim the gospel to us, but through your Spirit, you gave us life and joy and peace with you. God, thank you so much for the life of Randy and his family and Aaron. And thank you especially for the work they had in my life and for the investment. I'm totally in debt with the people that are standing beside me now, and I'm so thankful for the joy that you allow me to have with them and to be trained by them. God, thank you so much for this church and for allow this church to invest in the world and to invest in missions. God, thank you so much for the work that we have here in Willersburg. Bless the missions that you are doing throughout the world. But God, help us to remember that you is a God that saves, and God, you also are a God of mercy and grace that use people to proclaim your word to the world, to people that do not know you. God, help us to be intentional to those that you allowed us to be neighbors with, and God, help us to be mind of the people that need you. God, we know that there's people perishing, and that should tremble us as we can sleep in peace and knowing that there's still people in this world that need you. God, help us to be wise with our time, with the talents that you gave us to use for your glory and for your honor. Thank you so much for this day in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right. Let's bless both the Richners and Aaron tonight. We'll have an offering plate as you're leaving tonight. And just if someone can make sure that's out there, and we'll just, whatever goes into it, we'll split it and they'll benefit from that. We're giving them an honorarium, but this will just be an extra blessing for them and their ministries. So this is our monthly business meeting night. We have